The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. A shocking crime has been committed. As the bard himself might put it, murder most foul. After an extensive manhunt, the culprit is apprehended. He turns out to be a quiet, almost meek family man who could very well be your neighbor. As a matter of fact, his neighbors are hard put to believe it. Him commit murder? Why, he isn't the type. Which raises the fascinating question, is there a type?
Now, what was stolen, ma'am?
A pair of spectacles, sir.
Mm-hmm. And you're telling me someone broke into the house, which is filled with valuables, and only walked out with a pair of glasses?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Mm. And what are they worth, those glasses?
$32.
I see.
But they must be worth more than that to the thief. Else why risk prison if he were caught?
Hmm. Is there something special about those glasses?
Obviously, Lieutenant. Obviously.
Our mystery drama, Cold Comfort, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert Dryden. For almost 30 years, the shop has been in the neighborhood, and the sign on the window has read, Amos Crandall, Optometrist. The place is small, simply furnished, and uncluttered. Amos, or Doc as he is called, knows practically everybody in the neighborhood, and practically everybody knows him. Doc doesn't say much, but he doesn't charge much either. He does a very nice job, and he's always there when you need him. But since the average person doesn't need him very often, most people don't know very much about him.
Yes?
Are my glasses ready?
You are Mr...
Barstow. William Barstow.
Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. Barstow. I have them right here. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Now, let's just slip these on, see if they're exactly right.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Perfect.
Is the fit all right?
Oh, yes, yes. I could say these are the best I've ever had. It just seems... Is it my imagination that this temple piece is a little bit thick?
It's the pair you picked out.
Yes, yes. Well, as a matter of fact, it looks pretty good at that.
I'm glad you like them.
Yeah, let me write you out a check.
I think I'll have another cup of coffee.
Oh, you shouldn't have even had the first one.
I need something hot to drink.
Oh, don't tell me you've caught cold again.
Oh, no, it's just the weather.
But you're always cold, dear. We have no business being north in this winter. We're too old.
We're not that old.
No, we're not that young either.
Well, I can't retire just yet.
Well, we have enough money.
Not as much as you think.
Oh, we can live very comfortably. I got a letter from my sister Jean. She writes...
Now, I know what she writes.
It's just wonderful down in Florida. The condominium worked out beautifully. There are still a few left. Now, why don't we buy one?
I will think about... Wait a minute. What's this? Barstow... William K. Barstow.
Who's he?
Professor Barstow, an archaeologist.
Oh, well, what did he do?
He died.
Did you know him?
The man was in the shop a week or 10 days ago. I made him a pair of glasses. And here he is, dead.
Of what?
It happened suddenly in the street. He had a heart attack.
Does it say how old a man he was?
60. Oh, no, I'm really going to be late. I'll be back for lunch.
Amos, Promise me you'll think very seriously about retiring.
I will, Emily. I will.
Yes. Who? Did he set up an appointment? Yes, okay. Tell him to come in. Yes, now what does he want?
Mr. Trent?
Yes, step inside, Amos. Close the door.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Now, what's the problem?
The problem?
Yes, let me have it.
Well, there isn't a problem exactly. I mean, Mr. Trent, my wife wants me to retire.
Retire?
Yes, sir.
Retire? That's a new one. I never heard of anybody around here who ever retired.
There comes a time. You reach a certain age.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe. But I don't know of anybody in this organization that's lived long enough to reach it.
I have.
You?
I got old, Mr. Trent.
Old? Well, you're only 60. That's old.
I guess I'm an old 60. I was a prisoner, you know.
Yes, it was before my time.
A POW. It was a bad winter. I nearly died.
Amos, did you come here to tell me some war stories?
They say it was the worst winter ever in Korea. The arthritis, the rheumatism, they never left me. I've been cold ever since. My wife knows I'm having a hard time, and so naturally she wants me to retire. To move down to Florida.
That's what your wife wants you to do. But what do you want to do?
Well, the truth is, I guess I do too. What do you think, Mr. Trent?
I don't know. Maybe you think you can hand me a line like this so we'll offer you some more money.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Trent.
Well, we are being very generous as it is. Now, you have to admit that.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
And considering the fact that we wouldn't have to pay you anything at all if we didn't want to...
Mr. Trent, I'm very tired.
Amos, I am not the one who has the say.
Who does?
Well, you should know better than to ask. But the answer is somebody upstairs. See, I'm like you, Amos. Each of us can only go up one flight. You can climb up here, and I can go to the next landing.
But will you do it for me? Will you ask?
Well, sure I will, Amos. Don't worry about a thing.
Mr. Trent, do you have news for me?
Yes, I've got news.
Will they let me retire?
Forget it.
You mean they turned me down?
I didn't even ask.
You didn't even ask?
You came in to see me the other day. You were so upset that you just couldn't think straight.
But you promised me you'd ask.
Well, I had to humor you, Amos. Go up and ask for permission to retire. That's all you'd have to do. Right away, they'd start thinking, why?
Well, I just want to get away from everything and relax. Maybe get warm. Look, I did what I was told for almost 27 years. I did a good job, too.
You had no choice. Now, I am your control. We both know what is in your record. You were taken prisoner the first week of the Korean War, Captain Amos Crandall. And from that day on, you played ball with the enemy.
Look, Mr. Trent, I had no business being called back. I wasn't fit physically. I'd been wounded 6 years before in France. It was not right for them to call me back. I needed the pills. I needed the special protein. I would have died.
There is no point in telling me about it, Amos. You spied on your friends. And because of you, an escape attempt was foiled. 6 men died. your fault.
No. It isn't true. I tried to warn them not to go. I really tried.
We have all that information. The statutes of limitation on treason never expire. We need you to continue serving, Amos.
I've given you everything I have.
We'll be the judge of that. Now look, Amos. I stuck my neck out to do you a good turn. Let's forget about retiring, shall we? I'll tell you why I'm here. This is the pair of eyeglasses you mailed to your Pacific contact?
Yes.
He just sent them back.
Why?
They're empty.
Well, that's impossible. I know the film is inside the temple, the sidebar.
Well, look.
Well, I don't know what to say. I put it in there. I know I put it in there.
Amos, let's get down to cases. Now, if you put it in there, it would be in there when he received it.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm positive.
Since you didn't put it in these glasses, where did you put it?
Where?
What became of the film strip?
Well, this is a model number 18. I may have... Did I make up another 18? Just let me look at my book. I may have... wait. Here. I see it. I know what happened, Mr. Trent.
Yes?
It only proves what I'm trying to tell you. I'm getting tired. Careless.
Just tell me what happened.
It was the day before. I made up two pair of glasses, identical frames, and I somehow put the strip in the wrong one.
Which one was it?
I made them up for a Professor William Barstow.
Well, get them back.
I can't.
Why not?
He's dead.
Well, that should make it easier.
Why?
They didn't bury him with his glasses, did they?
How can I get them?
There is nothing to it. You go up there, ring the bell. Tell whoever answers you're the optometrist. You understand? Just say there was a mistake. You gave him somebody else's glasses.
Yes, but don't you...
It's clean and it's simple. It sounds good. Why, it's even true.
Yes, what do you want?
How do you do? My name is Crandall, Amos Crandall. I'm the optometrist. That is, I have my shop a few blocks from here.
Well?
About a week before he died, Professor Barstow had a pair of glasses made in my shop.
And?
You know the ones I mean?
Yes, I know the ones you mean, the new ones.
Well, would you happen to have them?
And suppose I did?
I would like you to give them back to me.
You would? Why?
Well, you see, they're the wrong ones.
Are they?
Yes. I gave Professor Barstow another gentleman's pair by mistake.
Did you?
Yes. I would like to have them back. And here are the ones intended for the professor in exchange. I know that he won't be able to use them. It's just that we have to keep these things straight.
We do.
Well, yes. May I have them?
No.
No?
You may not have them. Good day to you.
But madam, I...
Sir, if you don't leave the premises immediately, I shall telephone for the police.
Now, what does go on in that optometry shop? Obviously more than meets the eye. Our hero, Amos Crandall, known as Doc, is evidently employed by foreign agents. But does this woman know that? How? And why should she refuse what appears to be a most reasonable request? For enlightenment, I suggest the second act. According to the ancient philosopher, the bravest may be those who have the clearest vision. perhaps. Today, we can say that the clearest vision may be achieved by those who have the best-made spectacles. We are dealing here with a maker of eyeglasses, but evidently, he's not seeing things too clearly at the moment.
I told you I would notify the police if you continued to make a nuisance of yourself.
Yes, but madam...
Do not call me madam. I am Mrs. Maggie Traynor, the late Professor Barstow's housekeeper, rest his soul.
What I'm trying to say is that I gave him the wrong glasses. I merely wish to exchange them, that's all.
That's all?
Absolutely.
Sir, what is your game?
My game?
In the first place, you're lying.
Now, why would I lie about a thing like this?
You tell me.
Why do you say I'm lying?
You claim you furnished him with the incorrect pair of glasses.
Yes, that's true.
Well, how would you account for the fact that he came home that night with a spring in his step and a twinkle in his eye? Unusual for him, I would say. And so I inquired of him, Professor, is this a holiday? No, he replied. Well, I pursued the matter further. What is the cause for this rejoicing? Do you know what he said to that? Do you?
No.
He said, I have never seen things so clearly. Have you had a revelation? I asked. No, he replied. I have finally obtained a pair of decent spectacles. Well, now, sir, what do you say to that?
Well, I'm only trying to tell you
that... Yes, and you are trying very hard. But regardless, I cannot believe you.
Well, why would I want to lie about a thing like this?
You search your own conscience for the answer.
Now, please... You appear to be a reasonable woman.
I am not a reasonable woman. I am a loyal woman. There is taking place an inventory and an accounting of all his property. The man died without a chick or child of his own. Until the state decides on how it's all to be disposed of, I am the guardian. Not so much as a single speck of dust on his desk shall be touched until I am relieved of my responsibility. Now, this discussion has endured much too long.
Yes, but you don't understand. I need those glasses.
Very well. Proceed in the proper manner. Present yourself at the Metropolitan Bank and Trust, which is the executor of the estate, and register your claim.
But
I am sure they'll consider your request, provided, of course, it's legitimate. Now, sir, I've taken up far too much of your time, haven't I?
What do you mean she won't give you the glasses?
She says go to the bank. On the face of it, Mr. Trent, it's a very legitimate position for her to take. Do you want me to go?
No.
But it's the only way.
It isn't the only way.
I don't understand.
You don't have to. This doesn't concern you.
I told you before, I'm getting too old for this.
Don't say that, Amos. Nobody gets to be too old.
What can I do?
I'll keep on being young, Amos. You must see the spot you'd be in if I had gone upstairs. First, you ask to retire, which starts all kinds of bells ringing. Second, a thing like this, well, people have been eliminated for less.
Mr. Trent, you wouldn't do anything like that.
In the ordinary way, we never do. Our hands are always clean, Amos. We just make sure certain documentation concerning your past activities is made public. Nature takes its course. Now, you wouldn't want that to happen, would you?
What do you want me to do?
Well, exactly what you're doing now, Amos. But do it better.
What are you going to do about those glasses?
I've already told you. It doesn't concern you.
I wish you'd stay home today. It's very cold and blustery.
How can I just stay home, Emily? I can't just give up on everything and retire.
Retire doesn't mean giving up. It means, well, it should mean that you're ready for something new.
Yes, but I have an obligation to my customers, to the neighborhood.
Oh, somebody was here to make glasses before you came on the scene, dear. Somebody will be here after you're gone.
Now, look, Emily, when the time comes, I'll retire.
And when will that time come?
Well, do we have to talk about it all the time?
No, we don't have to talk about anything. I'll just read the comments.
Emily...
Oh, forget it.
No. I just wished that...
Oh, look, well, why is this name familiar?
What name?
Barstow. Oh, I remember. You made him a pair of glasses, and a little while later he died.
Yes, but so what's in the paper?
Well, it says here there was a robbery. His housekeeper, a Mrs. Maggie Traynor, reports that the place was entered last night while she was out visiting her sister.
Was anything taken?
Well, I would assume so. She's going over the list right now with the police.
Now, you're sure there was a break-in, Mrs. Traynor?
Positive, Lieutenant.
How do you know?
Well, the rear window was open when I returned, and I always make sure to lock it before I leave.
Yes, I see. Well, you promised me a list of the stolen articles. Where is it?
Lieutenant Schwartz, it seems only one thing was taken. His eyeglasses.
His eyeglasses?
Yes, sir. His brand new pair of eyeglasses.
Well, were they of any special value? Made of gold, perhaps?
Oh, no, sir. They were made of horn. Or is it some kind of plastic they use today?
And that's all that was missing?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Mrs. Traynor, are you saying that a thief broke into the house last night, and of all the things he could have taken, and there are many valuable historical objects, he settled for a pair of ordinary eyeglasses?
Oh, but these weren't ordinary glasses.
No?
No. Something's rather strange about those glasses, Lieutenant. The gentleman who made the glasses was here just the other day. He wanted them back.
Why?
Why don't you ask him?
You see, Lieutenant Schwartz, I had given them to Professor Barstow by mistake.
And well, Mrs. Traynor tells me that Professor Barstow claims they were the best pair he ever had.
Well, that's possible, but they weren't his. I had made them for someone else. I didn't think she would make such an issue of it.
Well, sorry I bothered you.
I was only trying to straighten out a mistake. I'll make the other gentleman a new pair, Lieutenant. The money involved isn't worth fussing about.
Yes. Well, I'll let you get back to work, Mr. Crandall. Beats me. Why would anyone want to risk a break and entry which can get him 7 years just to steal a pair of glasses?
I wouldn't know.
Anyhow, whatever it is, what can we do about it? Even if some nut for some crazy reason did steal them, how can you hope to recover a pair of ordinary eyeglasses?
Oh, it's Mrs. Traynor?
Do not pretend you had forgotten my name, Mr. Crandall.
What can I do for you?
You can return Professor Barstow's glasses. Now, where are the glasses?
I don't know.
The other night, you broke into the professor's apartment and you stole them.
What? I did not.
Then you had it done for you, which comes to the same thing.
Madam, this time it is you who is causing a disturbance.
A legitimate one.
And this time it is I who can call the police.
Mr. Crandall, the fact is you have a reason for stealing those glasses. I want them back.
Mrs. Traynor, I give you my word, I know nothing about it.
Why is it so important for you to have those glasses?
Please.
What is your motive? Indeed, sir, who are you?
Who am I? Well, you see my name on the window.
I will run this thing down, sir. I will go wherever it takes me. Depend on it.
This seat taken, sir?
No.
It's a nice day here, hmm?
Yes, yes, it is.
All right, Amos. Tell me.
That woman. The housekeeper.
Yes?
She's trying to make trouble.
What kind of trouble?
She insists that I'm involved with the robbery. The police came to see me.
Yes, and what happened?
Nothing. They think she's not quite all there. If you know what I mean.
Well, good. Then we have no problem. Now, you'll be getting a whole lot of stuff in the next month to pack and ship out. Just remember to be careful.
But maybe we do have a problem.
Like what?
She's sure I know something about it. And she comes by almost every day. She accuses me. She insists she's going to get to the bottom of things.
Yes, well, all right. It doesn't have to be a problem. We can take care of it.
A most efficient gentleman, this Mr. Trent. When he decides to take care of a problem, we know it'll be done in a most effective way. However, there's always a first time for everything, and it usually occurs in the third act. You know how it is with an oyster. Man or nature introduces a grain of sand inside the shell, and the resultant irritation may produce a most lustrous pearl. We have something of the sort here. We have a very smooth espionage operation that's just humming along. And a woman named Mrs. Maggie Traynor is now about to become an irritant. What shall be produced here?
Well, won't you come in and sit down, Mrs. Traynor? I'm sorry to say we haven't been able to find the glasses.
Oh, bother the glasses. Who cares about the stupid glasses anyhow?
But, Mrs. Traynor, I thought
Look,
that you...
I have been out doing your work for you, Lieutenant. Now, you pay attention. Why should Mr. Crandall be so desperate to recover those glasses?
Mrs. Traynor, we must first establish that they were stolen to begin with.
Ah, so the wind blows in that direction, does it?
Well, I am sorry, but we have to accept that responsibility.
Well, then accept this one. For the sake of an argument, assume I am sane. He is desperate, as I said, to get those glasses. Why?
Now, Mrs. Traynor, you appear to be a woman of the world.
Mm, and where will this approach lead us?
Well, no, I appeal to your sophistication. Now, we have here a pair of spectacles worth at most $30 or $40, huh?
$32.50 tax included. I have the bill.
Well, then you prove my point.
To the best of my knowledge, you haven't made one.
Well, it is this. We have quite a bit of crime in the city.
Oh, the understatement of the year.
Now, people complain, and with justice, that there isn't enough of a police presence on the streets. Now, let's have a sense of proportion here. Well, would you rather I spend my time trying to unravel the mystery of a $32 pair of glasses, or that I should devote my efforts to more serious crime?
Huh? How do we know how serious a crime this one may be?
Oh, Mrs. Traynor.
Who is Mr. Amos Crandall? What is he really doing? Chew on that question for a bit, Lieutenant. We shall discuss it further. Good day.
Yes?
Mr. Cheswick? I'm a police officer. May I come in?
I'm sorry. I won't take the chain off the door until you prove it.
Well, here are my credentials.
Are you from the local precinct?
Yes.
Well, let me telephone them first and ascertain if indeed there is an I.W. Schwartz. I'm sorry, Lieutenant. One can't be too careful. The stories one hears. And besides, there was a burglary in the building just recently.
Well, how do you know?
I read about it.
Well, had you heard anything that night?
I'm always hearing things in the night.
Hmm. Your neighbor across the hall, I mean, your late neighbor.
Oh, yes. Professor Barstow. Yes, yes. Splendid human being.
Mm. Mrs. Trainer?
Oh, the housekeeper. Yes, yes. A splendid woman. In a physical way.
Some days ago, a man rang her bell. Now, they had an argument in the hallway. Now, I wonder, being so close by, if you might have heard it.
Oh, you can hear everything that goes on in this building. The walls are paper thin.
Now, did the man sound excited or upset in any way at all?
He sounded both, and in every way. Why, he made a stupid little mistake seem like a matter of life and death.
What did he say?
Well, it wasn't so much what he said. It was the way he said it. There was torment, despair. What word am I looking for? Agony in his voice.
Agony?
Exactly. Agony. I tell you, I'm still not fully recovered.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cheswick.
Oh, I'm happy to perform a citizen's duty.
What can I do for you now, Mrs. Trainer?
You could start doing what you're paid for. I understand you spoke to Mr. Cheswick.
Yes, ma'am.
You wanted, of course, to gain another perspective on the hallway interview I had with Mr. Crandall. And?
Well, you were right. He was extremely disturbed.
And therefore?
Well, I'm not sure. The fact that I have a disturbed optometrist is hardly grounds for an investigation.
I spent my own money. I hired a private detective. It cost me $350 for 2 days' work.
Well, off the record, what did you find out?
Amos Crandall has been in business at the same address for some 27 years. He's a reserve officer in the Army. He served in World War II and Korea. In Korea, he was a prisoner of war for almost 3 years.
And what else?
That's all.
Well, that's a lean return for all that money.
I know. And I can't afford to continue at these prices. You have the facilities, the manpower.
But I don't have any reason to do it.
Oh, come, Lieutenant Schwartz. You mean you're not even curious?
Oh, it's the police, Lieutenant.
Yeah, Mr. Crandall, I was just passing by. I thought I'd drop in.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No, but I was wondering, is there anything I can do for you?
What do you mean, Lieutenant?
I'm not sure I know.
Well, then why...
Mr. Crandall, this business of the glasses and the robbery in Professor Barstow's home, you know, something doesn't feel right.
I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, that's my problem. I don't know where I'm headed. I'm floundering. I know there's something here, but I don't know what it is. Mr. Crandall, are you in any sort of trouble?
Trouble? Why would I be in trouble?
Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is, if you are, I'd like to help you in any way that I can.
I made a mistake, the kind of error that anyone could make who deals with the public, and I just don't know why it's been blown completely out of proportion.
You don't?
No, I don't. And that's the truth.
Then I guess that'll just have to be the end of it.
Hello?
Amos?
Yes?
Amos, you were right about that Maggie Trainer.
Was I? Yes.
Poisoning the well.
Who's that on the phone, Amos?
Oh, Emily, it's a customer.
She has to be taken care of, Amos. And the sooner, the better.
Do you really think so?
Oh, definitely. I just want you to know, she won't bother you anymore. Goodbye, Amos.
How can he say that? She'll bother me for the rest of my life.
What did you say, Amos?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
You see, you're starting to talk to yourself. You're working too hard. People calling you at night. Well, why can't these things wait till morning?
Emily, it was very cold there in the winter.
Amos?
It was a very wet kind of cold. It would seep inside your bones. It would freeze the marrow.
What are you talking, Amos?
It was a long time ago, but I remember every day, every hour, every minute. There was no escape from the cold. No place that was warm. Unless you were willing to do certain things. Certain secret things. Do you understand, Emily? Do you understand?
Yes.
You have no idea what a man will do for a cup of hot soup. Weak, watery, tasteless, but hot. Well, that was the beginning. And I don't remember everything. I don't want to remember. All I know is it was very cold. Excuse me.
Amos, where are you going?
For a walk.
In the cold?
The cold doesn't bother me anymore. Emily, no more.
Well, what are you looking for, Amos? It's your revolver.
Yes, dear.
Oh, no. I won't let you do it. I won't let you go out.
I'm sorry, dear.
Look, I'm your wife. You can't have any secrets from me.
Darling, you can only share the life we've had together, not the one I led before we met.
Please, Amos.
Emily, believe me and trust me.
Oh, it's you.
Please, let me in.
Have you taken leave of your senses?
Mrs. Traynor, listen. A man is coming here to kill you.
What?
Now, get inside, quickly.
What is this fairy tale?
It's true.
Well, then why don't we call the police?
I have to kill him myself.
Well, what are you talking about, kill?
The eyeglasses, it's tied in with things that you wouldn't understand.
But it's dishonest?
Oh, yes.
How dishonest?
About as dishonest as you can get. It has to do with helping the enemies of your country.
Oh? And does it have to do with when you were a prisoner of war?
Yes.
I thought so. Did you perhaps collaborate with the enemy?
Yes. I couldn't help it.
Listen.
He's here. He's climbing into the next room.
Oh.
Run.
Where?
Out the front door. Run, quick.
But I...
Now.
Amos, it's you.
Yes, Mr. Trent.
Well, you didn't have to come, Amos. I said I was going to do it.
I know. But I won't let you.
You won't? You know what can happen to you.
It doesn't matter anymore. I'm so cold all the time. So, it's all over, Mr. Trent.
If that's the way you want it, sure.
The police are coming. Don't move.
You think you can shoot me, Amos?
If I have to.
No, Amos, you can't. I can look in your eyes. You can't move. You're scared.
Don't reach for your gun.
Why not? You're not going to do anything about it.
Tom! Eddie! A man's climbing out that window! He's got a gun! Don't let him escape!
Well, are you all right, Mrs. Traynor?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Well, thank you, Superintendent Mr. Cheswick here.
My dear, I heard someone ringing your bell, as if it were a call to judgment. He shouted someone was coming here to kill you. So I didn't wait. I called the police.
Mr. Crandall?
He's dead. This one killed him.
Oh.
It was an espionage ring.
I know.
How do you know?
He told me. He saved my life. Does the truth have to be published?
Well, in cases like this, the truth is always what'll do the least harm.
Well, could he just be a man passing by who tried to save someone's life during a robbery?
Well, I don't see why not. You better get inside, Mrs. Traynor. It's a very cold night.
Yes. The cold. That's how it began, and that's how it ended. In the cold.
Cold, heat, hunger, thirst. We are a sophisticated society, more or less, and so we are prone to forget how these primal urges are the driving forces of mankind. We look for complex motives. Psychiatrists and sociologists go on for volumes on the twists and turns of the psyche. And yet, there are those who would destroy the world for a bowl of soup. A quiet, commonplace, ordinary tradesman. An optometrist. Who would give him a second glance? Who would associate him with excitement and adventure? Yet, a generation ago, in another time and another place, he wore a trim uniform. He was handsome, filled with fire and life, capable of almost any great act of heroism, also of any great act of treason. It all depended on fate, on circumstances beyond his or anyone else's control. All of us walk a thin line. The ledge is narrow, and there is a bottomless pit on either side. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Carol Tytel, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.